Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Today we're reading book 8, chapter 3, part 2 of The Brothers Karamazov, talking about part 1 of chapter 3 of book 8 of The Brothers Karamazov. Question: Mitya is jealous and forgiving? And general? That was the other question. General. Didn't even put a question mark. General discussion about the chapter. Swim said, the mama fishy said, the pace of book 8 is frenetic, very much like Dmitri himself, which I assume is the point. Frenetic meaning fast and energetic in a rather wild and uncontrolled way. Dmitri is, to use the modern vernacular, a hot mess. Good call, said J Mama 8779. I was thinking the same thing. I actually was behind, but breezed through chapters 1 to 3 at a good pace because he was so frantic. Even if Dosto wasn't spoiling a big event soon, I'd be certain one was inevitable at this point. Brian E. Denton said, I like this observation. Nice. Observing the freneticness. I am Norwegian said, Koklakov, now a complete realist, has the bright idea to not just lend Dmitri 30,000 rubles, but to invest in him millions. She then hangs an icon of Saint Varvara around his neck, who, outside of Russia, is known as Saint Barbara. Saint Barbara is venerated by Catholics who face the dangers of sudden and violent death at work. She is the patron of miners, tunnelers, armourers, military engineers, gunsmiths, large crab farmers, and anyone else who worked with a cannon and explosives. I don't think there's such a thing as crab farmers. It's quite obvious I made that one up. She is protectress against sudden death, of dying before you have made confession. She is protecting her investment and offering him luck in finding gold through the patron saint of miners. Right after calling herself a complete realist, no less, the icon is also foreshadowing something likely. Not that we need any more hints that something severe is going to happen to Dmitri soon. Predictably, I read the whole chapter earlier today, but that means I'll have more time for The Gambler, the book we are currently reading over at r/Dostoevsky. Come on over if you're interested in discussing a much shorter and relatively simpler book. Hashtag advertisement. Alright, r/Dostoevsky. If anyone is keen to jump into another book by Dosto, The Gambler. I'm actually pretty interested. Dostoevsky, spelt the English translation way, is it? D-O-S-T-O-E-V-S-K-Y. Dostoevsky. Somo Stars said, keep in mind this is the same Madame Holokov that wants Ivan to hook up with Katya. She's trying to get Dmitri / Mitya to leave and go find some mythical gold mine, so he'll be out of the picture. This is all part of her self-proclaimed regular plot to bring it about, it being the marriage between Ivan and Katya. I am Norwegian said, I did remember that Dmitri offer is basically, hey, you'll get me out of the picture. But I thought she was genuine in wanting to help Dmitri. Guess that's my naivety poking out again. Actually, tuck that back in, mate, if you could. Poke that naivety back in. Actually, giving Dmitri tons of money doesn't make sense at all, though. And I didn't take Madame Holokov for an idiot, so I guess I should have figured that it was simply a ploy. Isn't Holokov being sarcastic and condescending towards Mitya? Even Mitya knows, and we are explicitly told, that she cannot abide him. Uncle Jossel Mayer said, Madame Holokov makes a reference to Ivan Turgenev. I'm all for science and realism now, after all this business with Father Zossima, which has so upset me from this very day. I am a realist, and I want to devote myself to practical usefulness. I am cured enough, as Turgenev says. Turgenev was a contemporary of Dosto and Tolstoy. He left the Romantic movement in literature for literary realism, which represents things as they are, avoiding exotic artificial style and supernatural elements. A note aside, his relationship with Tolstoy and Dosto was strained. Tolstoy challenged Turgenev to a duel that never happened. They didn't speak to each other for 17 years. Turgenev was agnostic and his works lacked religious motives. Dosto parodies Turgenev in his novel The Devils. He was represented by the character Karamazov, a young and vain writer. His most famous work was Fathers and Sons, a novel about a battle between generations, the nihilistic young people versus the old generation resisting to change. The famous quote, "The temerity to believe in nothing." Ivan Turgenev. Old Turgenev. Uncle Jostlemayr said, "If you can excuse me, I want also to invite you to comment in this subreddit r/bookclub. We are discussing The Tempest by William Shakespeare, a short play full of magic and wisdom. Thank you for the invitation, Uncle Jostlemayr." I don't think I will have time to read along that Shakespeare play with you, but I do wish dearly, dearly, so dearly, that I was reading Shakespeare right now, and not The Brothers Karamazov. As you all know, I'm not so into this book. At least I'm not into this translation of the book. I'm pretty sure it's the translation that's screwing me up here. Alright, anywho, that's the conversation for this day. Let's continue reading this chapter. Let's get it behind us. This is part two of, what chapter are we reading again? Book 8, chapter 3, part 2. Here we go. I know that you're in a fever. You could hardly fail to be, and whatever you may say to me, I know beforehand. I have long been thinking over your destiny, Dmitri Fyodorovich. I am watching over it and studying it. Oh, believe me, I am an experienced doctor of the soul, Dmitri Fyodorovich. Madam, if you are an experienced doctor, I'm certainly an experienced patient, said Mitya, with an effort to be polite, and I feel that if you are watching over my destiny in this way, you will come to my help in my ruin, and so allow me, at least, to explain to you the plan with which I have ventured to come to you, and what I am hoping of you. I have come, madam. Don't explain it, it's of secondary importance, but as for help, you're not the first I've helped, Dmitri Fyodorovich. You have most likely heard of my cousin, Madame Belmazov. Her husband was ruined, had come to grief, as you characteristically express it, Dmitri Fyodorovich. I recommended him to take to horse breeding, and now he's doing well. Have you any idea of horse breeding, Dmitri Fyodorovich? Not the faintest, madam. Ah, madam, not the faintest, cried Mitya, in nervous impatience, positively starting from his seat. I simply implore you, madam, to listen to me. Only give me 2 minutes of free speech, that I may just explain to you everything, the whole plan with which I have come. Besides, I am short of time. I'm in a fearful hurry. Mitya cried hysterically, feeling that she was just going to begin talking again and hoping to cut her short. I have come in despair, in the last gasp of despair, to beg you to lend me the sum of 3,000 alone, but on safe, most safe security, madam, with the most trustworthy guarantees. Only let me explain. You must tell me all that afterwards. Madame Holokov, with a gesture, demanded silence in her turn. And whatever you may tell me, I know it all beforehand. I've told you so already. You ask for a certain sum. You ask for a certain sum, for 3,000, but I can give you more, immeasurably more. I will save you, Dmitri Fyodorovich, but you must listen to me. Mitya started from his seat again. Madam, will you really be so good? He cried with strong feeling. Good God, you've saved me. You have saved a man from a violent death, from a bullet, my eternal gratitude. I will give you more, infinitely, more than 3,000, cried Madame Holokov, looking with a radiant smile at Mitya's ecstasy. Infinitely? But I don't need so much. I only need that fatal 3,000, and on my part I can give security for that sum with infinite gratitude, and I propose a plan which... Enough, Dmitri Fyodorovich, it's said and done, Madame Holokov cut him short with the modest triumph of beneficence. I have promised to save you, and I will save you. I will save you as I did Belmazov. What do you think of the gold mines, Dmitri Fyodorovich? Of the gold mines, madam? I have never thought anything about them. Excuse me, but I have thought of them for you, thought of them over and over again. I have been watching you for the last month. I've watched you 100 times as you've walked past, saying to myself, That's a man of energy, who ought to be at the gold mines. I've studied your gait, and come to the conclusion that's a man who could find gold. From my gait, madam, said Mitcher, smiling. Yes, from your gait. You surely don't deny that character can be told from the gait, Dmitri Fyodorovitch. Science supports the idea. I'm all for science and realism now. After all this business with Father Zossima, which has so upset me, from this very day, I'm a realist, and I want to devote myself to practical usefulness. I'm cured enough, as Turgeny says. But, madam, the 3,000 you so generously promised to lend me. It is yours, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, Madame Holokov cut in at once. The money is as good as in your pocket. Not 3,000, but 3,000,000, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, in less than no time. I'll make you a present of the idea. You shall find gold mines, make millions, return and become a leading man, and wake us up and lead us to better things. Are we to leave it all to the Jews? You will found institutions and enterprises of all sorts. You will help the poor, and they will bless you. This is the age of railways, Dmitri Fyodorovitch. You will become famous and indispensable to the Department of Finance, which is so badly off at present. The depreciation of the rubles keeps me awake at night, Dmitri Fyodorovitch. People don't know what that side of me. Madam, madam, Dmitri interrupted, with an uneasy presentiment, I shall indeed, perhaps, follow your advice, your wise advice, madam. I shall, perhaps, set off to the gold mines. I will come and see you again about it many times indeed, but now that 3,000 you so generously... Oh, that would set me free, and if you could today... You see, I haven't a minute to lose today. Enough, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, enough, Madame Holokov interrupted emphatically. The question is, will you go to the gold mines or not? Have you quite made up your mind? Answer yes or no. I will go, madam, afterwards. I'll go where you like, but now...
Wait!
Cried Madame Holokov, and jumping up and running to a handsome bureau with numerous little drawers, she began pulling out one drawer after another, looking for something with desperate haste. The 3,000, thought Mitcher, his heart almost stopping, and at that instant without any papers or formalities. That's doing things in gentlemanly style. She's a splendid woman. If only she didn't talk so much.
Here,
cried Madame Holokov, running back joyfully to Mitcher. Here is what I was looking for. It was a tiny silver icon on a cord, such as is sometimes worn next to the skin with a cross. This is from Kiev, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, she went on reverently, from the relics of the holy martyr Varvara. Let me put it on your neck myself, and with it dedicate you to a new life. To a new career. And she actually put the cord around his neck and began arranging it. In extreme embarrassment, Mitcher bent down and helped her, and at last he got it under his necktie and collar, through his shirt to his chest. Now you can set off, Madame Holokov pronounced, sitting down triumphantly in her place again. Madame, I am so touched. I don't know how to thank you, indeed, for such kindness, but if only you knew how precious time is to me. That sum of money for which I shall be indebted to your generosity, oh, madam, since you are so kind, so touchingly generous to me, Mitcher exclaimed impulsively, then let me reveal to you, though of course you've known it a long time, that I love somebody here. I have been false to Katya, Katerina Ivanovna, I should say. Oh, I have behaved inhumanly, dishonorably to her, but I fell in love here with another woman, a woman whom you, madam, perhaps despise, for you know everything already, but whom I cannot leave on any account, and therefore that 3,000 now... Leave everything, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, Madame Holokov interrupted in the most decisive tone. Leave everything, especially women. Gold mines are your goal, and there is no place for women there. Afterwards, when you come back rich and famous, you will find the girl of your heart in the highest society. That will be a modern girl, a girl of education and advanced ideas. By that time, the dawning woman question will have gained ground, and the new woman will have appeared. Madam, that's not the point, not at all. Mitcher clasped his hands in entreaty. Yes, it is, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, just what you need, the very thing you are yearning for, though you don't realize it yourself. I am not at all opposed to the present woman movement, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, the development of women, and even the political emancipation of women in the near future. That's my ideal. I have a daughter myself, Dmitri Fyodorovitch. People don't know that side of me. I wrote a letter to the author, Schechtrin, on that subject. He has taught me so much. so much about the vocation of women. So, last year I sent him an anonymous letter of 2 lines, "I kiss and embrace you, my teacher, for the modern woman, persevere." And I signed myself a mother. I thought of signing myself a contemporary mother and hesitated, but I stuck to the simple mother. There's more moral beauty in that, Dmitri Fyodorovich, and the word contemporary might have reminded him of the contemporary, a painful recollection owing to the censorship. Good heavens, what is the matter?
"Madam," cried Mitya, jumping up at last, clasping his hands before her in helpless entreaty, "you will make me weep if you delay what you have so generously. Oh, do weep, Dmitri Fyodorovich, do weep. That's a noble feeling. Such a path lies open before you. Tears will ease your heart, and later on you will return rejoicing. You will hasten to me from Siberia on purpose to share your joy with me." "But allow me to," Mitya cried suddenly. "For the last time, I entreat you, tell me, can I have the sum you promised me today? If not, when may I come for it?"
"What sum, Dmitri Fyodorovich?" "The 3,000 you promised me, that you so generously..."
3,000 rubles? Oh no, I haven't got 3,000, Madame Holokov announced with serene amazement. Mitchell was stupefied.
"Why, you said just now, you said it was as good as in my hands."
"Oh no, you misunderstand me, Dmitri Fyodorovich. In that case, you misunderstood me. I was talking about the gold mines. It's true, I promised you more, infinitely more than 3,000. I remember it all now, but I was referring to the gold mines."
"But the money, the 3,000, Mitya exclaimed awkwardly.
"Oh, if you meant money, I haven't any. I haven't a penny, Dmitri Fyodorovich. I'm quarrelling with my steward about it, and I've just borrowed 500 rubles from Musov myself. No, no, I've no money. And do you know, Dmitri Fyodorovich, if I had, I wouldn't give it to you. In the first place, I never lend money. Lending money means losing friends. And I wouldn't give it to you particularly. I wouldn't give it to you because I like you and want to save you, for all you need is the gold mines, the gold mines, the gold mines."
"Oh, the devil," roared Mitya,
and with all his might brought his fist down on the table. "Ay, ay," cried Madame Holokov, alarmed, and she flew to the other end of the drawing room.
Mitya spat on the ground and strode rapidly out of the room, out of the house, into the street, into the darkness. He walked like one possessed, and beating himself on the breast, on the spot where he had struck himself 2 days previously before Alyosha, the last time he saw him in the dark on the road. What those blows upon his breast signified on that spot, and what he meant by it, that was, for the time, a secret which was known to no one in the world, and had not been told even to Alyosha. But that secret meant for him more than disgrace. It meant ruin, suicide. So he had determined. If he did not get hold of the 3,000, that would pay his debt to Katerina Ivanovna, and so remove from his breast, from that spot on his breast, the shame he carried upon it, that weighed on his conscience. All this will be fully explained to the reader later on. But now, that his last hope had vanished, this man, so strong in appearance, burst out crying like a little child a few steps from Holokov's house. He walked on, and not knowing what he was doing, wiped away his tears with his fist. In this way he reached the square, and suddenly became aware that he had stumbled against something. He heard a piercing wail from an old woman whom he had almost knocked down. "Good Lord, you've nearly killed me. Why don't you look where you're going, scapegrace?"
"Why, it's you," cried Mitya, recognizing the old woman in the dark. It was the old servant who waited on Samsonov, whom Mitya had particularly noticed the day before.
"And who are you, my good sir?" said the old woman in quite a different voice. "I don't know you in the dark."
"You live at Kuzma Kuzmich's. You're the servant there."
"Just so, sir. I was only running out of Prohothrich's. But I don't know you now."
"Tell me, my good woman, is Agrafena Alexandrovna there now?" said Mitya, beside himself with suspense.
"I saw her to the house some time ago."
"She has been there, sir. She stayed a little while and went off again."
"What, went away?" cried Mitya. "Where? When did she go?"
"Why, as soon as she came. She only stayed a minute."
She only told Kuzma Kuzmich a tale that made him laugh, and then she ran away."
"You're lying, damn you," roared Mitya.
"Aye, aye," shrieked the old woman, but Mitya had vanished.
He ran with all his might to the house where Grushenka lived. At that moment he reached it, Grushenka was on her way to Mokroe. It was not more than a quarter of an hour after her departure. Fenya was sitting with her grandmother, the old cook, Matryona in the kitchen when the captain ran in. Fenya uttered a piercing shriek on seeing him. "You scream," roared Mitya. "Where is she?" But without giving the terror-stricken Fenya time to utter a word, he fell all of a heap at her feet. "Fenya, for Christ's sake, tell me, where is she?" "I don't know, Dmitri Fyodorovitch, my dear, I don't know." "You may kill me, but I can't tell you," Fenya swore and protested. "You went out with yourself not long ago." "She came back." "Indeed she didn't. By God, I swear she didn't come back." "You're lying," shouted Mitya. "From your terror, I know where she is." He rushed away. Fenya, in her fright, was glad she had got off so easily. But she knew very well that it was only that he was in such haste, or she might not have fared so well. But as he ran, he surprised both Fenya and old Matryona by an unexpected action. On the table stood a brass mortar with a pestle in it, a small brass pestle, not much more than 6 inches long. Mitya already had opened the door with one hand when, with the other, he snatched up the pestle and thrust it in his side pocket. "Oh, Lord, he's going to murder someone," cried Fenya, flinging up her hands. "All right, there we go. That's chapter 3. He is indeed going to murder someone, I would assume, or at least he's going to try to. A few spoilers from the discussion today, because I wasn't very organized. I kind of, on the spur of the moment, decided to split this chapter in half, and I think a lot of the guys at the book in the Hemingway List community read ahead, not realizing that it was a half chapter today. So the conversation that we had at the start of this kind of had a few little spoilers about what was going to happen in the second part of the chapter. But, hey, nothing major. We'll push on. Thanks for listening today. Have your say at the subreddit, and I'll see you tomorrow.